We're up to Perek Lamed Gimel Pasuk Ches. Noshamu Mesilos, the paths have become desolate. We are describing the situation immediately before the miracle of death of the soldiers of Sancheriv. Prior to that event, there was great devastation, great sorrow. There was a siege. And the Jewish people in Yerushalayim found themselves in a very difficult situation. Nashamu Mesilos, the paths, the roads, are desolate. There is no one traveling among the roads. Shavas Oiver Oirach. Oirach means the visitor, the guest. Those that pass over, those the Oirach, the visitor that passes through the roads, Shavas, came to an end, ceases to exist. Hefer Bris, the treaty has been nullified. Now, this is a very interesting expression. This appears to mean this way, this is how it is explained by many Mefarshim, that the people of Yerushalayim made a treaty with, there were conventions, like, you know, the Geneva Conventions. There's a certain way, there's certain rules of war, and there's certain standards of how to deal with captives, how to deal with prisoners, how to deal with people in a situation when they find themselves in the siege. That bris, that treaty, what we call it the Geneva Conventions, was batel. There are no rules. The Assyrians can do to the Jews whatever they want, with no limitations whatsoever. They are not to be held accountable for any act, any crime, any war crime, any act of violence. Hefer bris. Now, on a more a simpler level, it means that the treaty, there were certain treaties that were made between the Jews living in Yerushalayim and other nations. Mitzrayim, or Mitzrayim at this point doesn't exist, but the other nations, that they would come to our aid. They would come to protect us and save us. No, Hefer Bris, all of those treaties, all of those backup plans were bought. Look at the Mitzudos David. Hefer Bris Ho'oyev, Hefer HaBris, Shekaras Im Yisrael. Umas Orehem, they nullified the treaty they made with the Jewish people that there would be peace, they would not attack, they would not bring harm. Umas Orehem Nicham Al Kilam, and they detested the Jewish cities to the point where they were willing to obliterate them to nothing. Ki Horsam Ad Hayisod, they demolished them down to the foundation, and that was something that they themselves agreed in the past they would not do. Moas Arim, the cities have become detestable, repulsive, and the enemy destroyed the Jewish cities, referring specifically to Yerushalayim, where they were planning, or the other cities that surrounded Yerushalayim, the suburbs. Lechashav Enosh. Now, this is a very scary expression. This, unfortunately, has been fulfilled in the time of the Holocaust. The Mitzudah says Lechashav Oysanu Levnei Adam. We were not rash. He says the same thing. Biza be'enav kol sone einachoshev enosh. The Jewish people were not considered on the level of a human being. We were considered lower, subhuman, animals. Holocaust, Kalkars, the horrors, all of these terrible things. That is what the Jewish people found themselves, the situation they found themselves at this point in time, right before of the miracle of salvation from the army of Sancheriv. Very scary pasuk. Pasuk tes aval umlala aretz. The earth was in mourning. Two expressions of mourning. The earth was in mourning. Hich pir levanon kamal. Hich pir means to be ashamed, to be embarrassed. Levanon means the forest, and it refers to the population. What used to be a beautiful, populated country with cities blossoming with people and productivity and activity became ashamed. It was a disgrace to look at what has become of Yerushalayim. The Levanon is, again, is a metaphor for what used to, the trees that used to flourish. Kamal, they have withered. Hoya HaSharon Ko Arava, the Sharon is the region, the very show that's beautiful, that's pleasant, and it's filled with pasture. It has now become Ko Arava, like a desert. The Noyer Bashan V'Charmel, Nor means to pour out. It refers to when you shake something with such intensity that anything that was contained within that object spills out and falls away. So the Bosh and the Charmel, two different regions of Eretz Yisrael, the Boshan and the Carmel, these two regions have, the Mitzvah Sion says, Humakai Mire, it's a part of Eretz Yisrael that where there is luscious pastures, and the Carmel is a place of fields and vineyards. They have been poured out from their blessing, from the trees, the fruit, and all the good that they have to offer. Pasuk Yud Ata, now Hashem responds. So what's going to be now at this point in time? Ata, when we've come to this low, this extreme low point in our tzara, Hashem says enough. And that's, as we mentioned yesterday, that is the nechama. Hashem says you have received the full measure of punishment, and that's it. You're done. You've learned your lesson. You got what you deserve. Now I can step forward. I can step in. I can redeem you, and I can bring upon you blessing, and we can restore you to the where you should be. And that's what this pasuk begins here. Pasuk Ata Akum, now that all of this has come to be, I will rise up. Yomer Hashem Ata, now a Romam, I will be exalted. Ata, now Enose, I will be uplifted. Three expressions: Akum, a Romam, and Enose. Three things which simply mean the same thing, and obviously there's much deeper meaning, but I don't know what that deeper meaning is. But the point I want to make here is a beautiful medrash. Is it says the word here ato three times. That you can't play around with. You can play around with the word akum, a romam, and enose, but you can't play around with the word ato because that's exactly the same word. Okay, maybe you can focus on the trup. The trup is not the same in each one of these. One is a mercha, one is a pashto, one is a tipcha. Okay, so I'm sure there must be some nuance, some Jewish to explain the mesira in the trup, the significance. But it's three times it says now, and Chazal. This is a well-known, it's a medrash that says, we're referring to the war of Milchemes Gog Magog, or, and that's in Milchemes Gog Magog, but when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will exact revenge from our enemies of Edom, and the entire event will take place in 3 hours. Ata means now, and generally speaking, the smallest significant time period is an hour. There's a rega, I think lahalacha is 6 seconds, approximately 6 seconds. How you divide up, you know, we have the chalakim on a birchas Rosh Chodesh. It's going to be a certain number of hours. A rega generally comes out to approximately 6 seconds, but that's too short of a point in time. The smallest significant moment of time is a shoah, is an hour, which basically is 60 minutes. Again, 60 minutes shoah zmanios. Is it 60 standard minutes, which is the average where we have it in the secular world, 60 minutes, with each minute being 60 seconds. But in any event, let me read you the Medrash exactly. Ata Akum Yomer Hashem, Knesset Yisrael Omeres, Ribono Shel Olam, Klal Yisrael says, Kol Techeles, all of the hope, Shev Olam, Yehi Lanu Kitzva, the Techeles, Moshiach Ein Lo Soif, but the yearning for Mashiach, everything in this world comes to an end. But what's going to be with Mashiach? We've been yearning for Mashiach for such a long time, and we have not yet, it has not yet come. So, Amalach L'Shparuchu, Bo Va'ana Chameich, I will comfort you, Shenemar. Now, this is not the Medrash I was referring to. Okay, I'm sorry. I'll come back to that one in one second. I'm sorry, here it is. Okay, this in the Yalkut Shemayni. Ata Akum Yom Hashem Ata Eiromom Ata Enosei Mal Shechazav Yom. Why does it say the pasuk three times? Ata El Amar Rabbi Berechya B'Shalosh Shos Asra Kadosh Baruch Hu Liyipara Me'as Me'Esav U'Me'Alufav. The war or the event where Hashem will punish Esav will take place in 3 hours, corresponding to these three expressions: Ata Akum, Ata Eiromom, and ata enose. Now, where do we have this in our davening? I'm sure some of you know. In Hashanos.
Ram v'nisa,
correct. But where do we have this idea of the three atos, the three times which this medrash, this Yalkut Shemoneh, refers to each ata is a reference to an hour, a shoah. That's an event that will take place be'achris hayamim, where Hashem will punish Edom. We say it on Hashanah Rabbah. or we say upon one of the Hoshanas, we say during the 6 days, during the other Hoshanas as well, Shalosh Shos Hoshana. Hoshana, Shalosh Shos. There's a lot of Torah, what that means. Save us, 3 hours, save us. What does that mean? So there are many interpretations. One, but this is one of the interpretations. It comes from this pasuk here in Yeshaya, that it says here 3 times, Atah, referring to the 3 hours when Hashem will destroy, punish Edom, and that is a great time of danger for us as well, because things can get out of hand once the Satan is given Rishus to destroy. If you get in the Satan's way, who knows, you can be chas v'shalom swept up, like we have in Mitzrayim. We ask Hashem that let it come, but we should be spared from any collateral damage or any fallout that will happen during that period of time. Shalosh Shos Hoshana. The other interpretation that comes to mind is the Gemara discusses the day of a person. Half a day a person is sleeping, but the other half a day he has to do his needs, he eats, and he goes to the Beis HaKisei. The Gemara makes a whole calculation, and the calculation, you take a 24-hour period of time, there are only 3 hours in a day where a person is really held accountable for his actions. Because when you're sleeping, you're not responsible. When you're eating, you're not responsible. When you're in the Beis HaKisei, you're not responsible. I don't remember the details. It's a Gemara. And you make the calculation, so it's only 3 hours. So for those 3 hours, Hashem, we're responsible. Save us, spare us. Spare us those 3 hours. Okay.
This term, Akum, is this Hashem?
Yes, this is Hashem.
It's an odd expression for God's going to rise. What, he's down, he's sleeping, or what?
He's hidden. He's hidden. Hester upon him.
Yeah.
Hester upon him. Yeah.
But three, you know, Akum, three expressions.
Three expressions.
Almost a physical thing to Hashem in this case, you know, what, the prior to when the Jews were having problems, he was asleep?
He was, our perception of his hashgach was that he was not present. Of course, Hashem is always, what? He hester pana, the Anochi haster aster pana, HaKadosh Baruch Hu conceals himself. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes out of its concealment and makes it known that he is controlling the world, that is what we refer to of Akum Eromam V'Inosei. I will uplift myself. I will make it known who's in charge. And this refers, obviously, I mean, there are many parallels. I mean, you see, like, the Holocaust. People expected things. I mean, I didn't live during that time, but from what I've read, there was a great sense of expectation that we've reached the bottom, the lowest that we can possibly go. I mean, this pasuk here makes it very clear. Neshamu mesilos, shavas over orach. People describe it. They went back to their cities, where they came from, before they were deported, before they were executed. It's nothing. It's shamu. They go into the shuls. They're animals roaming through the shuls, if the shuls even exist. Everything has been destroyed, diluted. There's nothing. Zero. What used to be Warsaw, what used to be there in the Jewish section. It's nothing. Zero. Nashamu mesilos shavas over orach hefer bris, and the goyim, no rules, nothing. Moas orim lechoshav enosh, who were not even in the level of being considered human beings of the atrocities that were done. So an oval umulo oretz, the earth, the whole world was in the ultimate mourning. Hichper levan and kamal haya hasharon ka'arava noya bashan v'chamel. Now you've reached the bottom. Hashem says no more. Ata akum yomer Hashem, ata eromom, ata enosei. Now is going to be a change. Many people looked at the state of Israel, 1948. Many people looked at that as the aschal de gula. I mean, that's a very controversial topic to look at. You know, the whole sequence of events of the state of Israel after the Holocaust. Some many people looked at that religious Zionism, that is a kiyum to a certain degree of pasukut. Atah, never happened such a thing. Sovereignty, autonomy, Eretz Yisrael, Jewish people, I mean, for 2,000 years. When was the last time the Jewish people minted their own coins, had their own currency? Didn't exist for 2,000 years since the time of Bar Kokhba. Didn't exist such a thing. You have Jewish. You have a Jewish country. I mean, a country is defined by their wealth, by their economy. We talk about and learn Mishnah about where you are, where your food is. What is the purchasing power of food? Food is a value. So these psukim can be a pasuk ches. These psukim can be a series of psukim. Even though the Peshut HaShemik refers to the time of Yeshaya, the terrible events that happened leading up to the miracle of the fall of Sancheirif, and it was meant to be Mashiach. That was like the end. That was the period we always mentioned. Yitzias Mashiach was the beginning. This was the end. This was meant to become Yimus HaMashiach. It didn't happen. So we have to go through other layers in our history where this event, the sequence of events will come about once again, where we will come to Mashiach. And religious Zionism, Rav Kook, you know, a lot of people following that thought, and that Ashkafa, very much take these psukim very literally and apply it to modern times. And you can't deny there's some degree of truth. I mean, if you go to the other extreme, you know, okay, you go to the, but you can't deny the fact that there is a certain degree of truth in seeing what this pasuk says. Ato akum yomer Hashem ato eramam ato enose. Okay, pasuk Yud Aleph Taharu Chashash. Now Hashem describes how He will punish the enemy. We're describing Ashur. Ashur assembled. They conquered Kimat, the entire civilized world. And they're only the last holdout is Yerushalayim. This was going to be the pride and joy. This was going to be the prize. Yerushalayim. And Sancheirif took one easy. He slowly gathered the best, the elite of the entire world, all of the skills, the war skills of all the nations. They were assembled around Yerushalayim, and they were really planning on attacking in the evening as they arrived. But they said, you know, look at Yerushalayim, it's such a small city. We've conquered much larger cities, much more powerful nations. This is Yerushalayim. What's the big deal? It's a small little city. You know what? Before we attack, let's get a good night's sleep. Everyone go to sleep tomorrow morning. First thing in the morning, we'll be fresh, and we will conquer and take the prize. And Hashem says, all your plans are worthless. Taharu chashash. It's as if you conceived and became pregnant with straw. Chashash is a word for straw. Taru refers to pregnancy. Teldu, and you gave birth to kash. Okay, I'm not exactly sure the difference between chashash and kash, but two words mean the same thing. It's worthless. Your plans are worthless. And it's been described here comparing it to a woman, the process of birth. The process of birth is a complex process. There's plans, and the plan is a 9-month period of time where the woman prepares for this great event of giving birth to a new child. And then finally, the plan has been implemented. The child comes to the world. That's the ultimate mashal for a plan and its implementation. Pregnancy and birth. Hashem says concerning your plan to conquer, it's like straw. It's worthless. It has no value whatsoever. Taharu chashash, he became pregnant with straw, teldu kash, and you gave birth to straw. Ruchachem, and your spirit, your desire, your wicked will consume. That will be fire, and you'll consume yourself. Your plans are straw. Straw is combustible. You will burn yourself up. Ruchachem is ash, is fire. Tochalchem, and it will consume you. It will consume you, which is straw and kash. Pasuk Yibes, V'hoyu amim mishrifo sid, all of the nations which have joined you. Asher was a conglomerate. Wasn't just one nation. Asher, that's we mentioned many times, that was a technique. You didn't just absorb, you didn't retrain all of the nations in your army. Everyone just became part. Everyone became a different battalion. There's a nation we conquered. We're not going to wipe you out. You will be loyal to us. You'll pay us tax and the tribute, and your army will become part of our army. We'll give you a special unit in our army. So it was called nations. It was like the entire world was waging war against Yerushalayim. And the pasuk says, "V'hoyu amim misrifo sid." They will be burnt like lime. Sid is a certain type of stone. I'm not familiar with this. There are certain stones that when you burn, you put them in a furnace, they melt, so to speak, into sid, into lime. There are certain soft stones That's what will become of the nations. They will be burnt down to lime, to sid. So the sin can be interchanged with a samach. And a samach, yudalid, means sid. It's interesting here, it's sin yudalid, which refers to the same letters of Hashem's name, Shakai, not of course in the right order, and refers to that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name will destroy them. Like the tefillin, on the tefillin we have the shin dalad yud, the shin on the shetilah shel rosh, the dalad the kesher, and the yud on the shetilah shel yad, the rohu kol am eretz ki shem Hashem nikrolecha v'yaru mimecha. That terror, that fear, will burn the nations of the world. Kaitzim kisuchim, they will be like thorns that are cut down, bo'esht yid tzatu, and they will burn. Yitzatu means to be burnt in fire. They will be burnt in fire. All the nations of the world will be burnt in fire. And there is a medrash. There's a medrash here that we know that when Yoshua came into Eretz Yisrael, they were instructed to set up stones by Har Griz and Har Evel, and to write on the stones Moshe Rabbeinu. When they came on the Eber Hayarden, before they crossed over the Yarden, they set up stones and they wrote on the stones. Moshe instructed these stones be set up, and on the stones they wrote. Question: what they wrote? Aseres Adibros or Tayag Mitzvos or Kol Torah Kula. Whatever it was, but a significant chunk of the Torah was etched into these massive stones on as they came into Eretz Yisrael. What was the purpose? So Chazal tell us it was that the nations of the world should learn Torah. Klal Yisrael is an Or La'amim. That's the ideal plan. Today, we mentioned many times that we seclude ourselves because it's such a dangerous world. We have only to learn from experience, so we don't try to engage the nations of the world and serve as an Or La'amim because, unfortunately, it didn't work well for us in the past. So generally, I mean, not it's not 100%, but I think generally Orthodox Jews find themselves more or less staying out of the public eye. They try at least to stay out of the public eye. But ideally, we're supposed to be in the public eye and serve as an Or La'amim. And this was the instruction by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe. They should erect these massive stones, and on these stones, like a monument, should be etched a significant section of the Torah. How would the nation of the world learn? In ancient times, there is no email, and there is no electronic communications. How are they going to learn the Torah? They would come to these stones and take lime, sid, smear it on these stones, and then let it dry, and then chisel out the sid, the lime that has hardened, and then you have a tablet, and the tablet has the imprint of the Torah that has been etched into the stones, or some technique, and then they would transport it to all different parts of the world, and they would analyze it and study it in great depth to understand the depth and the depth of the Torah, and learn what is applicable for them. So that's really what it refers to over here. V'chayu amim misrifos sid. Even though again the Pshushal Mikvahs were describing the destruction, the Churban, but we're also here hinting to the fact this event of Moshe Rabbeinu, of these monuments where they were stone, they would take and they would melt sid, mischifos sid, interchange the sin with the samach, and they would apply it to the stones. It would harden. They would then chisel this sid, tablets of sid from the stone, and have in front of them a text, what to study to learn the Torah. Okay, Pasik Yud Gimel Shimu Chaykim Asher Asisi. When this event happens, when Sancheiru falls, the world will hear the incredible miracle. They'll be inspired. They will come to study Torah. Listen, Rechaykim. Rechaykim means those who are distant, simply those from the distant lands. Asher Asisi, what I have done, the miracle I have done for my Jewish people. Udu'u Kravim Giburasi, and those that are near, you should be aware of my might. This pasuk is a favorite for many of the Balei Musar. There are two different types of Jews. There are Rechaykim and there are Kroivim. There are Jews that are Rechaik, that are distant. They have yet to come close. And there are those that are Kroivim. Those that are distant, they're only in the category of Shimu, to listen. those that are close are on a higher level, du'u, to know, knowledge. But there's even a higher level of ri'iya, there's actual knowledge. Du'u, to know, to actually know that, to know my might. So those that are on the level of being kirovim are on the level of du'u. Those that are on the level of ruchaikim, they're a bit more distant. At this point, they're only shimu, here. Just because you hear something has not penetrated your essence, your being, to be fully cognizant of what you've heard. Like, you know the famous part with I don't know, they say, I don't know which Rebbe they said this about. It was a Rebbe, and he sent his son to learn. Not a Rebbe, it was a father, a Talmud Chacham. He sent his son to learn by a very great Rebbe, and the son came back for Yom Tov. And the father asked the son, "Nu, I spent so much money on tuition. What did you learn? You went to the Rebbe, you studied. What did you learn?" So the son said, "I learned that there's a Ribbono Shel Olam. I learned." So the father, "That's what you learned. That's what I spent all this money. Took out for you a scholarship, took a loan, a second mortgage. So you should learn this. Even the Shifcha, the maid here in my home, knows that there's a Ribbono Shel Olam." So the answer, I don't remember the exact words, so the son said, no. She says there's a Ribbono Shel Olam. I know there's a Ribbono Shel Olam. By going to learn, I know it. Du'u, the Shivcha is only together. Shimu, she heard. She studies, she lives in the house, she has teachers. She heard there's a Ribbono Shel Olam. She davens. I know. That's what I've accomplished by going to learn by this Rebbe, and that's what this pasuk here is teaching us. Pasuk Yudalad. Pochadu v'tzion chatoim. In Tzion, tremble sinners. Ochazoru odach chaneifim. Rod is terror. Another expression which parallels pachat. Ochazo. It has taken hold of. Ochaz, to take hold of. Chaneifim, the flatterers. We always use that word, people that are people who have a perverted view of life. Their values are opposite. Their values are perverted, are distorted. They are machshav, they give importance and chashivas to things which are pure nonsense. Those are the chaneifim, and they shall be seized with terror. And the sinners in Sion shall be seized with pachat. Now, there's a beautiful medrash, there are many medrashim on this pasuk, but the gist of the medrashim are that it's Moshe L'madav Adoimeh to a king. To a king says to his servants, there is a thief. There is a person that's causing trouble in the community. I want you to capture the thief. And this thief is very sly. He's very successful. We have not been able to capture him for years. He has evaded the authorities for a long time. Anyone that will succeed in capturing this thief will receive an enormous reward. So someone in the community puts his mind to it, and he succeeds. He captures the ganav. He brings the ganav in shackles to the palace, and the king is informed. It's late in the evening, so the king says, "Okay, take the ganav to the prison, and you who have captured, you come and you go to. You stay in my residence. We'll put you in the guest room in the White House. What's the guest room called? There's a certain room for the guest room in the White House.
Lincoln bedroom.
The Lincoln bedroom. You sleep tonight in the Lincoln bedroom." And tomorrow, I will see you both. In other words, tomorrow I will punish the sinner, the one, the ganav, and I will give you your reward for your accomplishments. That evening, neither of the two sleep very well. The ganav doesn't sleep well because the ganav knows that, who knows, the king may execute him. And this civilian who is successful in capturing the ganav also does not sleep well because he's nervous. He's nervous. What's the king going to give me? Will he give me gold and silver? Will he give me an exemption from the draft? He's also nervous. What will be my reward? He'll have a meeting. It could be the king will say to him, "I'll give you whatever you want." He may have to negotiate with the king for his reward. He can get a small amount and get a large amount. So they both are nervous. But they're nervous for different reasons. They're nervous. The Rasha is nervous because of the punishment he's going to get, and the Tzaddik is nervous about the reward he will receive. That's how the Medrash interprets this pasuk. When he says here the word chato'im, we're referring really to a tzaddik. And the tzaddik is nervous that his sins, his minor sins, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is medaktik, b'sviv of kechut hasara, the tzaddik is nervous that maybe the small imperfections, his small sins, may prevent him, be ma'akev, his reward. The chaneifim are the rishon gemurim. So they are going to receive punishment, and they're terrorized, who knows how hot Hashem will turn up the heat in Gehenim for them. So that's what the pasuk refers to. Pachatu v'tzion chato'im in tzion. Tzion refers to the place of spirituality. If you are in tzion there's no room for sinners. And tzion is only a place for tzaddikim. But the tzaddikim are nervous when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will come, will judge them. Maybe Hashem will find some minor imperfections. Chato'im. So they're very nervous. There's a pachat. But the chaneifim, the rishoyim gemurim, people that are completely corrupt, their minds distorted and perverted, they are ochazor ri'oda. They are taken hold with terror. Who knows how great their punishment will be? Beautiful medrash. The pasuk continues for continuation. Mi yogur lanu, who can live with us? Now this is difficult. What this means? Simply, it means that when Asher, we're referring to the terror that Asher imposed upon Bnei Yisrael. Who can live in such terror? We're surrounded, all four sides. Any moment Asher will attack. It's just a matter of time until we die. Who can live such a life? Who can live a life being under siege for a prolonged period of time? Mi yogur lanu. Asher is the mightiest nation. Eish ochela. They are a all-consuming fire. Mi yogur lanu. Who can live alanu with us? Who can sustain such a life? Mokdei olam, among the enemy, Asher, who is another, this expression parallels Eish ochela. They are an eternal pyre. Their moked is a pyre, fire, an intense fire, and that's the equivalent to an Eish ochela. Who can sustain such intense degree of terror to be under their mercy, such a mighty nation? Now the Medrash does say that this pasuk refers to, now also this pasuk also brings out the Rishoyim. They're so wicked, they would destroy the world. Mokdei olam, if you let the Rishoyim loose, there's nothing they wouldn't do. They would burn the world to nothing. I mean, that's what we're afraid of in Iran today. Who knows that they can have nuclear weapons. Nuclear weapons is the ultimate Eish Echela, and there's nothing holding them back. If you want, mi yogur lanu mokdei olam. That's the medrash. Let me do the medrash. Amar Rabbi Yehuda ben Rabbi Simon, lamachu karosu, why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu call the umos olam mokdei olam? She'ilu nitan lahem reshus? If you give them control, hayu mokdim kol ha'olam kulo, the entire world. Not just the region, the whole world. Al Yoshvav l'shokal, in a short period of time. This was said Bereishis Rabba. This is standard. Run of them. This is not an esoteric medrash. Yeah.
Similar statement about Germania shall end up.
If that's the Gemara Megillah. If they let them go through, they'll go and they'll destroy the entire world. So this is a pasuk describes what the enemies of the world are capable of in destroying the entire world. There was an elderly man, he's no longer living. He always used to tell me about the Holocaust. He used to tell us that in America, people think in America, you were living in America during the time of World War II, you know, what? Okay, there was a war, obviously there was a draft, and there was a war, but we weren't under threat. He says, there's nothing further than the truth. Everyone in the world is a survivor. Because Hitler, Yimach Shemo, he wanted to conquer the whole world. He had plans to come to America. And he could have, who knows?
Submarines came to the house. Submarines reached the...
Europe wasn't the end game. In his mind, America, that was next. Everyone that survived, and a Jew, If you were a Jew living in America, you would have been finished. You would have been killed. You think, oh, you came to America, you lived in America during those years. You were fortunate enough to get out of Europe before the war started, and you're in America. No, you're home safe. You're not home safe. He's coming to get you. Every Jew in America is a survivor. And he used to emphasize that to me. And many years ago, this person, but that's really what's over here. And this medrash, let them do what they want, they will destroy the world. Okay, one more, so let's just see, okay, really out of time, so we will stop here. Pasuk Tesvav is where we will leave it.